Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our God and Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to start off with a piece of trivia. And because I'm a pastor, and this is a sermon, it's going to be a piece of Bible trivia. So think about the question in your head and see if you might be able to come up with the right answer. What is the most common phrase in the Bible? Now, I imagine different things are popping in your head. I'm going to give you the answer, and I bet it's one you won't expect. The most common phrase in the Bible is, "Do not be afraid." It is repeated 70 times word for word. And if you include similar phrases like "do not fear" or "fear not," it is written 365 times. It's also the same for Jesus. Jesus gives 125 imperative statements in the Gospels. And of these 125, the most common is "do not be afraid." Of those 125, 21 deal with the topic of fear. The second most common topic that Jesus deals with in his commands is love, loving God or neighbor. But compared to the 21 times he deals with fear, he only speaks the command on love 8 times. It's rather fascinating that the most common phrase in all of Scripture has to do with fear. That Jesus himself commands us to not be afraid more than twice as often as he commands us to love God or to love our neighbor. Now, none of that negates that we are to love our neighbor, that God expects it of us. None of it negates all of God's other commands, the ones given by Jesus, the ones given by the prophets, the ones given by the apostles. This is the fullness of what God asks of us, what he wants us to be. But in God's word, the most common phrase is, "Do not be afraid." Jesus himself decided that people needed to hear, "Do not be afraid," more than twice as much as any other command. So I ask us the same question that Jesus asked his disciples in that boat. Why are you so afraid? Why are we so often petrified by the world around us? How can we hear Jesus and his prophets tell us, "Do not be afraid," hundreds of times throughout Scripture, and yet we so often are gripped by fear? Well, I can answer that question for you. It's because in a sinful world, there are many things to be afraid of. So I ask you, in your life, what is it that you are afraid of? Now, there's the big elephant in the room, COVID-19. It has our world terrified. It's brought our world to its knees for 10 months and probably will continue for many more. We fear what it may do to us. We fear what it could do to the ones we love. And it has so many people terrified. This year has also brought on other special fears. One that comes to mind is the fear of radical politics. You may fear the radical left, you may fear the radical right, but so many people are afraid of what will happen if people are in office who do not agree with them, that their freedoms may be lost, that their money may be taken, that they may be oppressed, that they may lose their God-given rights. But it's all about fear. And our politicians and our political parties, they know this. It's why, if you think about it, those hundreds of political ads you got in your mailbox over the past month, very few of them say anything about what the advertising party will do. And almost all of them say why you should be afraid of the other guys. It's about fear. And there are many things to fear that have nothing to do with this year, but are always fears. The fear of accident, the fear of illness, the fear of death, the fear of not having enough, the fear of loneliness, the fear of depression, the fear of a vice or addiction that has taken hold in your life. But we all have the things which we fear. Some are rational and real possibilities, some are irrational. But what we really need to take stock of is the role of fear in our life, how it can define us, how it can disrupt our lives, how it can cripple us, how it can petrify us. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus' disciples were also afraid. They, like us, were crippled with fear. Their fear was death. Death by wind and waves, death by a literal storm. But it wasn't really the wind and the waves they were afraid of. They were afraid of losing their life. They were afraid of losing all the things they, like us, held on to. It's a fear many of us share. The fear of losing the things we hold so tightly to. It's the root of so many of our fears. And in their fear, the disciples did something we so often do. In their fear, they lost sight of Jesus. They didn't forget he was there. They knew he was in the boat with them. But they lost sight of who he was and what he could do for them. Fear. Today we need to recognize we are so much like these disciples. Their faith and their flesh was not stronger than ours, nor weaker than ours. They were human like us. They were us, and they did probably what we would have done in that same situation. Exactly what we do in so many situations where we find ourselves afraid. We only see the fear. We only see the thing we are afraid of, and in doing that, we often lose sight of Jesus. When we find ourselves gripped with fear, we so often lose sight of Jesus. We so often lose sight of his promises. We so often lose sight of the things he calls us to do and be. I wonder how many poor decisions are made because of fear. How many decisions with our money or our friends or relationships or with how we treat our bodies, how many of them are corrupted by fear? When fear enters in, the game changes. Everything changes, and we so often become convinced of lies. The disciples in this gospel text, they became convinced of a lie. The lie that Jesus did not care about them. And they even said those words, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" In the storms of life, we so often become convinced that God is not there with us and that God does not care about us. When we become convinced of this by fear, then fear is won. I want to share a quote with you from Dietrich Bonhoeffer about fear, from one of his sermons before World War II. He said this, "Fear takes away a person's humanity. Caught in the grip of fear, we are no longer the creature God designed us to be, but rather we are a sick and crippled being, mastered by the power of death and the devil." Fear takes away our humanity. It removes us from being the creature God made us to be. Perhaps this is why God saw fit to deal with fear so often in his word. Perhaps this is why Jesus spoke to it and commanded people to not be afraid so frequently. Fear destroys our humanity. Fear cripples. Fear makes us lose sight of Jesus and his great love for us. Fear makes us lose sight of the power of God. And God is powerful. We saw his power in our gospel text today. When the disciples were gripped with fear, when they were afraid of death by wind and waves, Jesus simply said, "Peace, be still." And it was. And then he asked the disciples a question we should all consider in our own hearts today. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? You see, those disciples were so much like us. Their doubt and distrust went hand in hand with their fear. They doubted that Jesus had the power to bring them to safety. But more than that, they doubted that what was to come was better than what is. Let me say that one more time. They doubted that what was to come was better than what is. When it comes down to it, this is why we fear death. Because the sinful nature inside of us holds on to the sinful, broken world we live in. And though we take comfort in God's promises and the promise of life eternal, of life with Jesus, though we take comfort in knowing where our destination is, we're not ready. If we're being honest, we all doubt that it will actually be better than what we have now. And so in that doubt, we hold on to the lesser. We fear death. And I can't condemn you for it. I fear it as well. I fear it for myself. I fear it for my loved ones. Though in my head and my heart, I truly believe what Jesus has done for me. Though in my heart, I know he has saved me, a lost and condemned person. And because of that, I am an heir to eternal life. though I know and believe these things, my flesh and my soul are still weak, and I still fear death. I fear losing the things I cling to here. I see myself in those disciples. I fear the storm. Jesus says to me, do not be afraid, and I still am. And in that fear, I am so easily distracted from my God, from Jesus, and his love. Perhaps you can relate to me on this one. Perhaps you can relate to the disciples' fear on this one. Perhaps you can relate to fear keeping you from the life God calls you to. Perhaps you can relate to allowing fear to distract you from Jesus. Now, I want to share a recent event that says a lot about looking at fear or looking at Jesus. And it's an event about someone I respect quite a bit. This is Pastor David Brighton. He was the senior pastor at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Warner Robins, Georgia, about 2 hours south of here. This is the church I vicared at. I did my pastoral internship. Pastor Brighton was a mentor to me, and he taught me much of what I know about pastoral ministry. You might remember him. He preached at my installation here 2.5 years ago. And Pastor Brighton spent 36 years in the ministry, 22 of which at Mount Calvary. And in that time, he touched thousands of lives, and he mentored 20 young men going into the ministry. He also was a loving husband and a father of 5. You'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who had anything bad to say about Pastor David Brighton. 7 days ago, Pastor Brighton died. A short battle with COVID-19. One of the many things that has our world so gripped in fear. But before he died, he left one final message for his congregation. His January newsletter, written about 10 days before he died, and the topic was fear. Let me share a bit of it with you. These are the last 2 paragraphs of that newsletter. So with much joy and no fear, let us assume the risk of living as Jesus' disciples in the world. That was his call to us all. Let us assume the risk of injury or death by accident or disease or persecution as we go forward in his name to declare his glory among the nations. God knows when he will call us home. Only he knows. So let us live the abundant life Jesus calls us to live each and every day until he takes us home. Happy New Year, and may God bless us and protect us as we gather together in his name and as we go out into our communities and tell others the good news that there is a God who loves us. And through pandemic, violence, hatred, and persecution, he is Lord of all and Savior of all. Joy, no fear. As Pastor Brighton wrote these words, which are so very faithful to God's word, he did not know that the day he would be called home was coming quite soon. He did not know he had COVID-19. He didn't know when that day would be for him. Yet he had resolved to live an abundant life in Jesus' name. He had resolved to encourage everyone to live without fear and to live with confidence in Jesus Christ. And that verse he quoted, John 10:10, it says this, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came for 2 reasons. First, to secure eternal life, to secure the end, to secure the vast majority of our existence. And secondly, to ensure that until then, we live life abundantly. An abundant life is many things. Abundant life is all the things God asks of us. Abundant life is life loving God and our neighbors. Abundant life is life in community, life serving, life being generous, life praising God. But abundant life, most of all, is life without fear. And the only way to live life without fear is by knowing Jesus and what he did for us. Our epistle today says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Now understand, perfect love is not something we do. It's not something we are capable of. The perfect love referenced in that verse is only the love of Jesus Christ. A love that did not bow to fear of death or persecution or suffering, but a love that went willingly to death for us, so that the sting of death could be removed, so that fear would be cast out, and because of his perfect love, we have reason for joy and hope. Even in a world where there are so many things to fear, even in a world where we are daily reminded that life is precious and often short, but because of Jesus, the sting of death is removed. Those disciples, they feared death that day until Jesus silenced that threat. And the disciples awed, saying, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Today, we focus not simply on that miracle of Jesus silencing the wind and the waves, but we focus on a greater miracle that defines our very lives. The miracle that occurred on Easter morning, where we say together, "Who is this that even death obeys him?" And death bowed to Jesus on Easter morning, not only in his life, but in the life of each person who follows him. Because of Jesus, our fear of death is dulled, the sting is removed, and instead we are able to rejoice. And we don't know when God will call us home. We don't have a clue. As I speak this message to you, my own last day could be a matter of days away. We don't know. And not knowing should not lead us to recklessness or foolishness with our lives or the lives of others. That's not what living without fear means. But not because we don't know, let us not fail to live the abundant life that Jesus Christ calls us to. A life not dominated by fear, but a life dominated by confidence in the power of Jesus, his power over death, his perfect love that casts out fear. Let us go forward following him, living abundantly without fear now, knowing that one day fear and death will be cast out forever. Let us rejoice in Jesus Christ. Let us proclaim the Easter cry that he is risen and we will rise with him one day. You know, Pastor Brighton was an Easter pastor. I say that because you could tell he loved Easter more than any other holiday, and with good reason. He often preached and taught that we are Easter Christians. We are Easter Christians in that that day defines us. That day informs us. It changed our lives and everything we do. And he also loved that Easter refrain we all know. He loved shouting, "He is risen," and hearing the people respond, "He is risen indeed." And that Easter refrain was not something you just heard on Easter morning at Mount Calvary. You would hear it dozens of times throughout the year. And that Easter victory cry was not just a celebration. It is not just a celebration, but it's a confession. A confession that our lives will not be dominated by fear, but that our lives are dominated only by the love of Jesus Christ, a confession that he has overcome fear and death and the devil, and that because of that, we will live abundant lives and no longer let fear cripple us. So I want to end this sermon with that Easter cry with you all. I want to do this for two reasons. One is a way of honoring the life and ministry of Pastor David Brighton, but also as our own confession of joy and confidence in Jesus Christ. That we know fear no longer has power of us, but we are committed to living abundantly in our Lord who loves us so. So if you would, join me in this Easter refrain. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia and amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please rise. Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For this day you have revealed the mystery of our salvation in Christ, the light for the nations, who appeared in our mortal nature that we might share in his immortal life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Celebrate our communion together by taking the bread. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night on which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and eat the body of Christ.
And now take the cup. And in the same way also after supper he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Take and drink the blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins.
Now may the eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood strengthen and keep you in true life forever. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen.
Everyone who sees the Lord, rejoice.
prayer ministers are Elder Lou Ingerson and Dorothy Sutton, and they will be forward for prayer after service. Did want to comment that it's a small world sometimes in our Lutheran church. So before Pastor Aaron and I came out for the celebration of Holy Communion, I just said, "Well done." And he said, "Yes, Pastor Brighton helped me write one more sermon." And I think that's so neat. What also maybe you don't know is that when I took my second call to start a church in Alpharetta, I left a church in Parkersburg, West Virginia, called St. Paul Lutheran Church, who then called Pastor David Brighton to be their pastor, where he served for
7 years.
7 years, yeah. Before he came to Warner Robins, Georgia. Just a small world.
Yep.
Please.
Receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon us all with favor and give us his peace.
Amen.
Amen.